teaching rain. Oh Lord Jesus, give us more rain until we are soaked and we come in the land of rain. Until we are soaked and we come in the land of rain. Hallelujah. Bless the Father in heaven. We thank you, Lord, for precious times such as these, Lord. Coming together, Father, and sit under thy feet and feel the rain, Lord. Feel the pouring, Lord, upon us as thou come to teach your people, Lord, a precious word of life. To bring them, Lord, to maturity. To bring them to the place, Lord, where there will come a time, Father, when we are fully matured, no longer tossed to and fro, Father, when all the saints of God come to that place, ready for the change of the body. Then, Lord, we are expecting a great falling of the latter rain. Lord, when thy voice will be heard, Lord, through the thunders being uttered, Father, to bring about, Father, that wonderful change that we are expecting for, looking to, Lord. And then, Lord, in a moment and twinkling in our eye, after that, Father, we'll be caught up to meet our Lord Jesus in the air. We look forward to the wonderful day. We know, Father, with the conditions of the world that is going on around this time, prophecy now, Father, preparing itself, the state being set more and more now that we begin to see. And truly, Lord, what thy prophet, Lord, to this last age have so revealed to us, Lord, by the vision that thou hast given him, that there shall rise a woman, a beautiful woman, in the United States. And Lord, you know, you didn't say anything about it. It could either be the Catholic Church, a woman president or vice president, someone in power. And Lord, we see in this day now that truly, Lord, perhaps that there will be a woman president soon to be elected this coming next 2 years, Lord. And truly, Father, many Americans, Lord, are aware of the hour they live into. They know, Lord, the country is going down. Morally, Lord, spiritually, and even financially. And we know, Father, that's the time, Father, Lord, that many saints, Lord, that are called by thy name, those elect, Lord, will have to be awoken up and prepare themselves. For soon, O Lord, the King of the East that prepared itself now is on the rise. And Lord, we see what's going on over this part of Asia. And we know, Lord, it won't be long. So Father, even as we gather here today this morning, ask that you bless the word, Lord, and give us understanding and help us to enjoy and grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. We ask that in his wonderful name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, the book of Genesis. And we left off on Isaac. And we see that, of course, in chapter 26. Now, just a passing comment that we made last week, that Abraham, in his life, you notice, was a representation of God, our Heavenly Father. And we see that how God was the one that built the altar, and where we can come to the place to worship Him. And the altar was built. And that altar was Christ Jesus at Calvary, the sacrificial lamb of God. And in looking at what the life of Abraham, in looking at how did God call him, you know, these three characters that we see in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's actually lay a background to our faith. We look at the way that God use them in such a way to show a picture. And how truly it is, how wonderful it is that when God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia and promised to give him a seed and a land in which the people of the whole earth would then be blessed by the descendant of that seed. And yet in showing this, God showed a picture, asking him to take Isaac and to sacrifice Isaac. The wonderful thing about it is that when you see Abraham taking Isaac to the mountain, Mount Moriah, and then he prepared the altar, and God did prepare an altar, as we know, in Christ Jesus. Abraham prepared the altar and put Isaac onto the altar to ready to sacrifice him. And I said this, that the age of Isaac, the time that he was to be sacrificed, was about 30 years old. Now as Abraham was about to sacrifice him, you know, before that, Isaac asked him, says, where is the lamb? And Abraham said, God will provide. And as much as Abraham was about to plunge his knife into Isaac and became a sacrifice, God stopped him. And that shows one thing. God raised him up. So it was at Calvary that God was the one that provided the lamb. Not just the ram that was caught in the thicket for Abraham to make a sacrifice. But God provided a lamb at Mount Calvary. That was the place where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. It was in the same mountain that God, and that Abraham sacrificed Isaac. And even as God stopped him from doing that, provide the lamb, Isaac was actually resurrected in the sense of the word. Because Abraham knew if God was to take Isaac away, he got the raise of Isaac. Because that was where the seed was promised. And yet the seed was not in Isaac, the person, but Isaac, the one that we know, the Christ. For God became a sacrifice, and God raised him up from the dead. Now the second character, of course, was Isaac. Isaac being that, as we already studied last week, he was a man who is reopening the wells that the Philistines and the people living around there under Amalek had closed it up. And we know that there are at least, there are, in fact, as far as I can tell, there are 7 wells altogether he opened up. And that's all that he opened up are not still water, they are living water, they are spring water. It's not a pool or a mud pool or a pond or something that is a hole in the ground that, you know, the rain comes and collected. That is called stagnant water, that is not living water. But this well that was dug up by Abraham long ago were actually wells. And wells, you know, are actually spring water. That to a certain level, when you dig it down under what you call a water table, and the water is fresh, spring water. And so Isaac was the type of man that he just wanted to bring up all that which, you know, his father Abraham had prepared. And spring water, living water, is a water of life. And with that water, he could water all the areas around, as well as give drinks to all the animals that they possessed. So Isaac was a type of the Christ. For he was the one that provided us, every one of us, fountains of living water. Amen? And when we drink of the water, and yes, my Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. It's life-giving. And so as much as the well was covered up, you know, filled up with sand or whatever by the Philistine, it was a type of what the Pharisees did in the days of Jesus Christ. They killed the Word of God. They stopped the flow of the Word of God by bringing their traditions and their dogmas. And so Christ came to minister the Word and bring forth living waters. And yet we have seven wells altogether, and we see that there are seven church ages. And in each age, our Isaac opened up a well for all that would drink. And so Isaac was a type of that. Now today we are going to talk a little bit about Esau and Jacob. And you know the kind of character what Jacob represents. And you will see what Jacob represents. Abraham was a man of the altar. Isaac was a man of the wells. And Jacob was a man of the tent. He was a homely boy, as you will say. Now let's go to look at it. Genesis chapter 27. Now we ended up with the last verse of the scripture, last two verses of the scripture in verse 27. That Esau married the daughters of the Hittite. And that displeases Isaac and Rebekah. Now here was one problem with Isaac. You know, remember types and shadow. And also as well as when you take typology or parables, you cannot stretch beyond something else to what is already represented as to the well or as to the altar. Now we're talking about the Isaac himself as a man, his failure. You understand? And it has nothing to do with corresponding or tied to Christ Jesus in this way. No. Here was a man, Isaac. When we read the last two verses of 26, we can see that Isaac was not like his father Abraham, who kept the commandment of God and would do what God said. And Abraham actually raised up Isaac in the fear of the Lord and imparted to him all that which God had given to Abraham himself. And he knew that forever the seed of God, or the promised seed that God had given him, is not to be mixed with those in the Canaan land, the Canaanites, all those that dwell in that place. Seeds cannot be mixed. And God had intended seeds to be mixed. What Satan did in the beginning, when he came into Eve, came to Eve, brought about this mixture. And then you have the Canaanic line, and then you have the Semitic line. And you find that Satan walks around enticing the Semitic people to come over to the Canaanic and marry the Canaanic people. And that's the war. And that's why we are all living here today. We all have to face one fact. That we should not be like the world. Now you see how people are caught up in the world today. If you were to go back in history, back to let's say in Singapore in the 50s, and you have say some kind of look at some kind of videotape or film that were made in the 50s. Let's assume that you just go back in time and just remember what history looked like in the 50s or 60s in Singapore. And then you compare to what you see today. We know that technology and science and everything have advanced so far. So much so that science and technology and everything is used to enhance the physical body of mankind today. I think it was in a paper the last couple of days ago. They have a graphic that shows the human body. The transplant here and there. Do you see that in your newspaper? You know, implant for a false teeth. They have all this titanium thing. Implant for your ear. If you are deaf, or if you need a new socket to your hip, you know, implant to all the various parts of the body, and also the surgery that they being used. Those days, surgery were used, we used the scalpel to cut. But now they use laser, and they can even use laser to take away all your blemishes and all that thing, and they give you the tattoo eyebrows and give you black shadow lining and make your lips rosy, red, if your lips are pale. They can do all these things now. And if you look, every time, you know, Sunday comes, Sunday is the only day probably I take the bus. Okay? And when I'm on the bus, you see passengers coming off the bus, and you see all kinds of, you know, dresses that people do. I mean, the men are okay, not much to of a style except funky look. They got funky look. I don't know what I mean funky look. I mean, well out of the world, I guess. And some would have their, you know, their jeans being cut open and then shows their kneecap. And then some will hang around some chain around their, oh, whatever. And the men with all this ring, I mean, they look hideous. But look at the woman. They come out with all the makeup and the shorts and whatever shows little what on earth now. Oh my. Years ago, you don't even see, in your 50, 60, you don't see in the newspaper advertisement of a woman in the underwears. Today you have Waco or Trans and everything, the push up, the push down, don't know whatever else. And all the fantasy thing that they would do to the human body. Why? This is the world. This is the world. And you know what? That is how the Kenic people do. They are able to use the herbs of the field so that they can enhance their body. They know that, they know what it can do to the body. Huh? Like what we have today in Indonesia. What is that, the Malay word, the woman take when they have after a jambu? It's supposed to make the body slim and everything back to shape. Fantastic. It's a herb. You know. And so that's what the Kenny were doing, and deceived the woman. They were fair to look at. They actually do all the cosmetic. You see. And you know, by watering down the genetic of the satic, Satan had actually bring about such a low, debased morality in the satic line. You see. And if it is so that when faith is mixed, then faith is destroyed. But here again we see the same thing. Abraham was told not to take anybody from this Kenic. God had dealt with him. He knew about it. He knew about what the seed meant. It must be from his own loy, from all that gene that is in him. But you know, here we have not just Sarah told Abraham to take Hagar, which was an Egyptian woman, not from the Kenic line, I mean not from the Canaan land anyway, not from the Canaanites, but Egyptian woman. But yet that deceit is not air with the shock. That's one thing here. But here we see a twin, Esau and Jacob. They were twin. And yet here you can see how that already Satan was able to manipulate the kind of person that Esau would be. You know, people say, I'm born like that. Come. Don't always say things. You know what I mean? Yeah? I'm born like that. I can't help it. No. If you are what you are in the eyes of God, God can change you. If you will let Him. We know that we are born into this world with a lot of flaws. Because you are born sinners. Coming into the world telling lies and wicked and everything. But God can change us because He is God. Otherwise He would not have given us Jesus Christ. For that in Christ their life is changed. You understand that? You see? Yet, Isaac, he failed in one thing. You know, because Esau was the firstborn. But you know one thing about a father? I think that's particularly true is with the father. Not so much as with the mother. Mother more protective as a mother, you know, mother hand always sheltering. Okay? But the father. Father is always looking for the boy. You know, I have three daughters, I have four daughters, I want a boy. You know, to try and then get six daughters, ten daughters, I still want a boy. So they're going to get a concubine. And what a boy. But now you have two boys. Oh, I want the firstborn, because after the firstborn is important. But Isaac failed to understand the plan of God. He failed to understand in that sense, but he knew about it, but his visions, spiritual vision, began to dim. He knew that God had told Rebekah that there are two nations in your womb, right? And the elder shall serve the younger. And you know, Rebecca told him that definitely, the husband and wife. But yet, when the boy Esau grew up, he went out to the hunt, was able to get nice venison prepared for him. You know, everybody loved deer meat. Who don't love deer meat? Who loves deer meat? No? Yes? I love venison. You see? We all love meat. That practically. And so, because this boy, Jacob, was a tent man among his boys, so to speak. Always in the home, always around the home. Homely boy. You know. And so each time Esau went out hunting, bring back, and of course it excited Isaac. You know. Oh, that food was nice. And he came on eating that, and you see, that carnal desire to satisfy his taste bud caused him to fail to see who was the one that God has actually picked. The vision has changed now. Not only that, by the time we read verse 27, chapter 27 now, and it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son, he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not how long I may live. Now, by this time now, Isaac is about 137, 138 years old. Now, if you ask me how I get at that, it's a long story, because you have to go into a lot of verses of scriptures, alright, to what we call chronology. Go into some other verses of scripture and then find out when they were born, who were born, and multiply, subtract, and minus, and so on. I'll give you the verses a little later. But right here, you know, the love for, I don't know whether sometime when God, I believe God is in these things. To be able to do something to fulfill that prophecy. Now here was Isaac, his eye, you know, already eyesight's fading away. And in those days you don't have glasses. They don't wear glasses that we have today. You know. So he could not see very well. He could probably see shapes and shadows. I don't know what's wrong with his eyesight. Perhaps it could be cataract or failing visions or myopia or whatever. You know. And I believe God have to deal with this. But if Isaac had been very careful about raising the two children, two boys, Esau would not have married the Hittites. You know. In other words, his faculty of spiritual understanding about what God had promised to Abraham and what was prophesied by the angel to Rebekah, his wife, he would have not lost that. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field and hunt for venison to bring it. Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard your father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loved. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, behold, Esau my brother is a hairy man, and I'm smooth. My father peradventure will feel me, and I shall seem to be to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, upon me shall be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice, and go fetch me. And he went and fetched, and brought to his mother. And his mother made savory meat, such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skin of the kids of the goat upon his hand, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according as you have bade me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast fallen so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. You know, here is where we get familiar spirit that's passed down from one member of family to another. Passed down from the grandfather to the father, to the mother, or to the what, and then to the children, and going down to the grandson. Here is a deception here. Abraham did it. Isaac did it. Now Rebekah and Jacob are doing it. Huh? You see, it seems that it was just something that needed to be removed. You know. And that is true in the family also, in any of our life. The kind of behavior the father have or grandfather can be passed down to the children. And if you're not aware of it, you will continue doing it. And for us as Christians, when we are aware that there are certain things that, you know, that we behave just like my mother, or I behave just like my father, then I've got to stop behaving like that. And we've got to ask the Lord, Lord, take that spirit away from me. You see. That's a familiar spirit. And you know, it's just a person deceiving, being deceived. Right? Isaac deceived Amalek. Now he's being deceived by his own son and wife. You know. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son, Esau, or not. My very son. The one that, you know, the way he said of it, the one that I've always wanted. Because though here was the voice of a man that sounds like, not like Esau. So I got to feel him, you know. And of course that's why Rebecca was a wise woman. She knew also that if the blessing really was given to Esau, then Jacob would not have it. And already Rebekah knew that Esau was not the kind of man to be able to produce a descendant according to the prophecy, according to what the angel told him, or the Lord told her. You know. And so here was something, and in those days, not so much as today in our generation. Not so in among the Western people or the Caucasian people. Not so much among, you know, many other races. But in the Orient, this blessing is still practiced among some tribes and some people. You know, he said, what's the inner blessing? Huh? People invoke a blessing upon their children at certain festive season. You know, even Chinese New Year, Now in Singapore, very few people do that anymore. They say, oh, this is just tradition. You see. But in days of old, they will come to the parents, you know, and the parents will say blessing over them. Even we see among the Muslim people during their New Year festival, Ramadan, and after that, you know, their day of celebration, they visit their parents and they get a morning up and they kneel before their parents and they get a blessing. You see. Because especially when we believe in a God, when we believe in God, or when these other religions believe in their own, they believe that God has endowed them some power to say that when they pass a blessing, they expect the blessing to be so, because they're near to the Lord and the Lord has revealed to them something. You see. But because Isaac, because of his carnal desire for meat, he has lost the vision, forgotten that it was to be Jacob and not Esau. You know, sometimes that's the problem with us is, when we get into this carnality too much, we think that is what it is. That's okay, that's good, that's the thing we should be. And you have doctrines like the Trinity. If people believe and embrace Trinity for so long, they say, this is true, this is it, and no matter how you prove that, they will not change. If the karma is not wanting to change, you will not change. You see. The song we sing, creating me a clean heart, O Lord. Is that right? And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You see, as long as the Holy Spirit stays in us, He's the one that is able to create in us the heart that God wanted. We don't want our heart to be filled with carnality. Our five senses going out to have what He wants in this world. And when it does, it takes us away from God. And our visions of truth, of eternal life, of what God has said in His Word, will slowly diminish away from us. Do you know that is true? Huh? That's all, when you get away of the truth of God, you reject, you refuse to come to church for, you know, after a while, because you are entangled with carnality in your own life because of some problem, some frustration. And then you go here, then after you walk a long time, you go further and further away from God. Do you understand what I'm saying on this now? You see? But here was Isaac realizing that there was something wrong, but he wanted to feel. And so he said, come near, and I'll feel. So Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and Isaac felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Rebekah was a wise woman, a smart woman, so to speak, subtle, able to know her husband's behavior, what kind of food that he really liked to taste. You know, those several meals, she also can do it because she must have taught Esau how to cook it. And change even the goat meat into a venison meat. Today we have a lot of mock meat. Isn't it? Made of tofu. And it tastes like it. It tastes, have you tasted? Oh, I've tasted what they call golden dunk. From where we have over in our place, they sell vegetarian food. Very nice. At first I asked, what is that? It's golden dunk. You know, I said, oh, I tried. And my, it was really, it tastes like meat. And it tastes like, almost like duck. You know. It's fantastic. And nothing but tofu. You know, solve it. That's what it is. But they're able to make a texture out of it. They even use that to make texture like a squid. You ever seen them making the squid? Oh! You just bite, you just like squid. Man, oh man, what can men do about, you know, with all these things that is in their mind, you know, and the ability to do those things. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And Jacob said, yes, I am. That's a lie. Okay. God is watching over this. Knowing that why he once sent Isaac failed to do his job properly. And God had to do something. Here already the prophecy was given out. And Rebekah knew that prophecy. Rebekah used the prophecy to bring the blessing upon Jacob. And said, bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come now, near me, and kiss me, my son. He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, because he wear Esau's raiment. And Jacob and Isaac said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee and curse be upon everyone that curse thee. And blessed be he that blessed thee. Wow. Now he made this, and even the brethren will serve thee. Huh? And you know, that's what God told Rebekah about the eldest to serve the younger, but Isaac's mind is all taken up with the food. Huh? Enjoy that venison so much that now he thought that it was supposed to be Esau who was supposed to get that, and that the younger served the older one. It turned the other way around. The elder served the younger. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also mixed several meat and brought to his father and said, now my father, arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac his father said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly. Oh my, he was in a state of shock. Who? What is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I have eaten all before thou came? And I blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. You know, one time you bless and you cannot take it back. That's why when God give a promise, you will not take it back. You cannot work against it because God will make that prophecy come to pass. You cannot challenge it and twist it and whatever it to thwart God's plan. You can't. Do you understand that? Even as much as you know, Isaac failed in bringing up Esau and Jacob the way it is because of his love for meat and it's taken away his spiritual vision. Yet he didn't thwart God's plan. He just lost that insight. You know. Now he was, oh my. And when Esau heard the word of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And he said unto his father, bless me even so, bless me my father. He knows all the good blessings of God. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and have taken away thy blessing. In fact, that blessing was supposed to be for Jacob in the first place. Isn't that right? Huh? Because of the sin, the nation shall come to bow down. And whoever cursed Jacob or Israel, as we know later, his name was changed, will be cursed. Those that blessed will be blessed. And he said, is not he really named Jacob? Oh yes, of course you call him Jacob in the first place. Huh? What is Jacob? Supplanter. You know that, don't you? And you know some of the names that you all have come from the same root word. Yeah? From what we found out, the name Ginny also comes from the same root word. Jackie also comes from the same root word. It's supposed to be because of a change. You know? But still, when a prophecy is given for a name, what's in the name? It means a whole lot. So you can change your life. You don't have to change your name. Huh? And you see, when I was young, I don't know, I had a nickname given to me by my father's first wife. Because I used to go around, you know, in Chinese so lai so ke, you know what I mean by that? Like a snake, go here and there. So I always tend to get myself dirty, so they call me also so. Dirty, dirty little fella, you know. You know what I mean? So everybody call me also, 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 you know. Even today, you know, my half-brother, sister call me also, 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 you know. You know, I will go around here and there, that sort of thing. It might be, if I'm not a Christian, I may still be sowing around here and there. You know, moving around, doing all kinds of things, you know, that's the thing. So, but the name, but you see one thing about it for sure. We don't have to have a change of name. We need a change of life. We need a change of the soul and the spirit. You know. Well, just an example, like people have a name Michael. Michael. Michael means Prince of God. But yeah, well, Michael out there are not Prince of God. Some Michael are also thieves and what all that. You know, it's just a name. You see, it's a life that needs to be changed. Not your name first. If you change your name to call yourself Prince or whatever it is, like in Africa, you know, they have called Prince. Some of them are called Innocent, Grace. Their father gives them, but their life was not up to that. You see, it's the life that changes. Alright, let's continue with that. For he hath supplied me these two times. Oh, this is what he said. His name, he is a supplanter. He's rightly called Jacob, that's why. He's a supplanter, he's a deceiver. He have already deceived me twice. He took over my birthright, and behold, now he's taking my blessing. Now, is that true? That's not true. He had taken away my birthright. No, he did not. Jacob did not take away his birthright. He sold it. Esau sold his birthright. Now, when you sold your birthright, blessing is taken away. Now, every one of us have a birthright. Huh? As a Christian, we all have a birthright. We are entitled to what God has promised. We are entitled to everything that is in Christ Jesus. And most of all is that life of God, the life of Christ. Now, if, for example, like, well, now, let's say you do a job, you have a job, and the job doesn't do it well, and you have a friend that come up to you and says, hey, James, how about, you know, get away from your job, you know, and join me in my business venture, you know. And when you ask him, I said, how is the work, life like? He said, oh, you know, it's almost like a 24/7. You keep me very busy. You know, they probably in the middle of the night, they will call you on the phone and ask you to go, and you have no time for your Sunday's fellowship or any other fellowship. You know. But you tell him, says, no, I cannot. You tell him why, he says, I have to go to church, or, you know, I love the Lord. He says, oh, come on now! You look what you are earning. You're earning about $1,000 a month. You think it's worth that life? Just get away from all what you're doing. You know, take a little time away from your church and spend maybe 1-2 years, you know, and I help you build up. And I give you a good percentage, you know, of the share of the company. You know, you're in tithes and you can fall for that. Okay, he needs our birthright. You just, okay, well, go ahead. And slowly away, you get away from that. Huh? Wow, you become good and rich and all these things, and then you, brother, sister in the church call you to come back for service and say, long time no see. Forget about it. Long time, you know. If Jesus is real, I'm working so hard. I'm getting $1,000 every month. Look, it doesn't help me. You know. But, this is what I'm earning. Look, the cars that I drive, the house that I have. You know, you when you come to the stage, you say, you sell a birthright. You know, but you begin to, as Paul said in the book of Hebrew, or in other parts of the Bible where he said you have things of the heavenly things, and you turn around and you respond it, what else remains? Nothing. Like Cain, his offering wasn't right. God said, now there is an offering for you. Take it and offer it. He spun that, he walked away. What did he do? He went to kill him. You see? If you sell your birthright, there's no blessing left. There remain nothing but a curse. Your name be taken out of the book of life. isn't it? And that's what Esau did. He sold his birthright. Nobody took it from you. Nobody can take it from you. Is that alright? It's in your hand. You either you sell it or you keep it. Isn't that right? Alright. He said, Esau said to his father, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said to him, "Esau, behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. The corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" All the good ones, all the good blessings gone. And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless thee even so, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and cried and howled. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And you see what Hebrews chapter 12 said. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16-17. We all know that verse. Hebrews chapter 12:16-17. Now, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. You see, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. You know, fornicator? Profane? That's what Esau was. Spiritual fornication. You cannot have what God has given you, your faith, and join to something else. You know? And in this case, he threw away the blessing, his inheritance, and joined himself to what? Board of footage. His life is more precious than his inheritance. And Jesus said, "He that deny me before my Father, so will I also deny." If you deny before any man, God says, Jesus said he will deny you before his Father. What good is this inheritance now that I'm dying? What good is this inheritance because you're dying? Don't you know that if you have inheritance, if you have that inheritance, why can't you believe that if God said your seed will go down, you should have it then? Since you're the firstborn, if you believe that. Isn't it right? So if we have the inheritance, so whatever happened in this life, why do we have to sell it? That's why it's during the dark ages. The Roman Catholic went out there and take everybody that do not bow down to the image, or give the right hand of fellowship to the Pope, so to speak. They brought in and they were tortured. Huh? The Inquisition, or the Spanish Inquisition, and even so. The Jesuit went up there and bring all of them and torture them just like the SS. The Nazis. But you know, many of them die willingly. Is that right? Of course, but there are those that set it off. And even become informers, so to speak. This life is just a small little span of time and that's it. And we are going over to the other side. And Isaac, his father answered and said to him, "Behold," now he blessed, "behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth." And the fatness of the earth is in the land of Edom. If you know where Edom is, let me show you that. Edom is right here, as you could see, right at the bottom here. This is the land. Or we could use that, the other one, that better chart right here. This is where Edom is. That's quite a good, nice piece of land. That's what that you have. "And of the dew of the heaven from above, and by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck." This was fulfilled later on in history, because of the wars and all the fighting that were there. And you know the intermarriage between the Ishmael people with the Edomites and the Esau's people. and all the other people round about. So they all scattered, all always on the eastern side. If you know, it's always on the eastern side. So if you know the people, most of these people of Ishmael is on the eastern side. Even with people of Saul, it's always going towards the eastern side. Because the west of that, what we will call the valley, the west of the Jordan River here, all this area, right? This is Canaan land. This all belongs to Israel. And of course, in the later on, Israel also conquered this part. All this whole part also, Israel took it. You know. And so, that they later on broke the dominion of Israelite and they left to be by themselves. Okay, now let's continue. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing. Why would his father bless him? And Esau said to Esau, the day of the bone of my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob. Once my father passed away, and I'm going to kill him. Wow, I think that's how a person feels, you know. When the blessing is gone, somebody took it away, but you saw it in the first place, remember. And this word of Esau, her eldest son, was told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, touching thee, behold, thy brother Esau has touching thee to comfort himself just to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, free you to Laban, my brother, to Haran. And stay with him for a few days until thy brother's fury turn away. Stay with him for a few days. But you know what? He didn't stay there for a few days. He stayed for 20 years. And that's the end. That's the time when Rebekah never see him anymore. Never. The moment that Jacob left to go to Haran, that was the last time she saw Jacob. You know, but she wanted to protect him. After all, Jacob was a homely boy, a mama's boy. Well, he was called a tent boy. But was he called a tent boy? He always stayed home with a tent, always in the house. And later on, you know, he married. And he has four wives. And out of that, he built up his seats. You understand? He got all his seeds. Let's continue. Until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which thou have done to him, then I will send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughter of Heath. If Jacob take a wife of the daughter of Heath, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be to me? Now, she's man. So after that, tell Isaac, Jacob, ready to go. You must go. So, of course, he must get the father's permission. So, Rebecca went up there to Isaac and said, you know, what's life worth to me if my son Jacob married this daughter of Heath, just like Esau did? Huh? So, you know, after talk, you know what, Isaac, okay, called Jacob and bless him and charge him and said unto him, thou shalt take a wife of the daughter of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Betua, thy mother's father, and take me a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou may be a multitude of people. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou may inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God hath given Abraham. Now, Isaac already passed the blessing before. Now he realized, oh, okay, you can't change now. You can't change anymore, you know. He can't even score. He can't even rebuke Jacob for deceiving him. You see. Now he realized that, yes, truly now that Esau had married someone. And it has to be Jacob, you know. After all, you know, the seed's going to come from him, according to what the prophecy, according to the covenant that God made with Abraham. And Isaac sent away Jacob and went to Padan Aram, unto Laban and Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau's mother. Now, here for a moment, let me just show you something. In verse 4, that which blessing of Abraham that was given by God, it says here, that thou art be a stranger which God, that you may inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger which God gave unto Abraham. Now the thing is, when God called Abraham, what age was Abraham? Do you know? 75. Now when we read the scripture, early on when God told Abraham, your seed will be a stranger in the land that is not yours. You know that, don't you? Okay, let's go to Genesis and let's go to where he said that. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 13. Genesis 15:13 says unto Abraham, know for surely that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. 400 years. 400 years. Okay? Now, the other thing is that if we were to turn to a verse that I'm looking for here right now, let's turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 6. Acts chapter 7, verse 6. God spoke on this wise that his seed, remember, is Abraham's seed. Not Abraham, but Abraham's seed. Should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. Now, when you read the Bible like this, don't read it as if that walking in a strange land, they were at the same time put in bondage for 400 years. No. Okay, we will read the way that this verse is put is not the way it should be. It should be like something like this, if I put it right in the paraphrase. That he sits and sojourn in a strange land 400 years. And that they should bring them into bondage. Do you understand? It's in the whole land for 400 years. It's not that they were in bondage for 400 years. Okay, now, if we want to go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. We take from verse 16. Not to Abraham his seed were the promises made he make. He said not, and to the seed of many by us one, and to thy seed which is Christ. And this I said, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years, after cannot disannul that which should make the promise of no effect. So now, some people read this, it seems that there was 430 years. Correct? 430 years. Because the law was given after they left Egypt. So was that 430 years? Was that 400 years? Okay, let me just show you here. You look at the chart here now. We have BC 1920, or AH, we will say, or AH 2083, is from the creation. But let's take the BC, before Christ, 1920, that was when Abraham was called. Then BC 1896 is when God made the covenant with him, when the circumcision was performed. Okay? Now, at B.C. 1634, that is when Joseph, the Egyptian bondage came after the death of Joseph. Remember Joseph was there in Egypt? Then he was governing, there was no bondage. After that Pharaoh died, after Joseph died, and then came up a Pharaoh that does not know Joseph, then the bondage began. And that was 1634. Okay, now the Exodus out of Egypt was in the year 1466. Okay? Now, if we want to look, you have the covenant 1896. And then the Exodus was in 1466, right? So how many years was that? 430. Isn't that right? 430. That was dating back to the covenant that God made with Abraham. But it wasn't Abraham, but it was to his seed. They said, what? In the land for 400 years. Not including the 30 years. So that's why, as I said, when Abraham took Isaac to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed, Isaac was 30 years old. So that was again the renewing that God about this seed. You understand that? And that is from Isaac's sacrifice to the Exodus is 400 years. So there is a 30 years when Isaac was taken as, because there was a covenant made. And that was like God gave us the promise of eternal life. That was a promise of everything that is new in the seed, and that was Christ Jesus, that we begin our journey. You got it? But how long were they in Egypt? You know, the bondage was in the year 1634 BC. So you minus that, and you know it's only 100 plus years they were in bondage in Egypt. Okay? Alright, let's continue, go back, quickly finish up that chapter. So that, you know, people need to understand, because sometimes there seems to be a lot of conflict in the place here and there. Alright. We are in verse 6 now. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And then Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and gone to Padan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Isaac unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives of which he had Mahala, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of the Mahal, to be wife. So what happened? Isaac at least realized that the wife that he took wasn't pleasing his parent. Huh? So he went and to Ishmael's descendant, or Ishmael's seed, and married a woman that is his third wife. At least there is some sense in him, so to speak. Huh? And you know, later on, because of the fight and between them, the quarrel, but they reconcile. And the most important thing is that people need to realize, if you're wrong, you're wrong. You cannot turn around and say any other thing. And something that is not doesn't please God, or doesn't please what is right to society or to others, then we need to do the right thing. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and gathered and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took out the stones of the place and put them for his pillow and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamt, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angel of the Lord ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you dwell, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. Now it's renewed. First from Abraham to Isaac, now to Jacob. And that's why the Bible says, I am the Lord, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, it's always given to them. You know what? We have all the promise now in Jesus Christ. And so now we all have one sure assurance that this seed that God provided us in Jesus Christ is all that we require. Amen. And thy seed shall be the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west, right, to the east, to the north, and to the south. In thee and thy seed shall all the family of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all the places where thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. You know what? This is just the beginning of the promise. You know, wherever you go, I will be with you. I will still bring you back to this land. You know, even though they Israel was scattered over the world, God bring them back. Under Babylonian captivity, under the Assyrian captivity, And after that, they were all scattered again. Remember? In AD 70. And then in 1948, they came back. And this time, when they came back to stay. You cannot change God's prophecy anymore. You cannot thwart God's prophecy anymore. No matter how stubborn Israel will do, he's going to get, God is going to make sure that they are going to face the consequence of what their forefather had done. Alright, and open their eyes to let them see that Jesus Christ is the one that they have rejected. God has to bring mankind, the history of mankind, to a close. He will not allow that to drag on. As the Bible tells us, God tells us that if you allow, mankind will destroy himself. You know? How terrible it is. You see, all this nuclear thing that they are going on now in Iran and all these talks about that in Korea and China and shooting a, wow, you know, missile into the space and hammer out a satellite. You know? Something they have never done for a very long time, which Americans did in the first place. But what happened out there in space now? So much debris. The earth is polluted even by men. Huh? And one of God has called it to a close. Alright. And Jacob awake out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid. How dreadful is this place? It is none of them but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of the city was first called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if, now in the Bible it says if, King James, wrong, a sin, S-I-N-C-E, since God be with me, will be with me, not if God will be with me, since God be with me, and will be with me, and will keep me in the way that I go, and give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. You know, I think the problem is Isaac never teach Jacob much about your God, his God. He wasn't like Abraham, I said before, remember? Abraham would keep all the commandments and all that to do it. But Jacob, he lost his vision and all for that neat stuff. Now Chinese New Year is here. Isaac, sorry. You know, failed to do it. So now Chinese New Year is here, you have your bakwa. Don't lose your sight. You know? And so that's why Isaac lost his sight on this. Not even know how to raise up. He don't even know. And then, now Jacob is saying something which is kind of strange. And I come back to my father, and then shall the Lord be my God. Wow. I mean, wasn't the father telling him before that who Yahweh was? He always seek the blessing, but he didn't even know God as he should be known. A lot of people go to church, you know? They come to church, a lot of us come to church, many people come to church, but they don't know God. And I pray that you know God. That the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob be your God. It's a personal relationship, something that you know really. Huh? And this stone which I have set for the pillar shall be God's house. And all that which thou give me, I will surely give the tenth to thee. Now, think about for a moment. He was in the place and he had this dream and this ladder going up there in heaven. An angel going up and down, up and down. So, oh my. This is the gate to heaven. God's house. God's house. You know what is God's house? That bad elf is God's house. The gate to heaven. You know what? When you enter into the kupar of God, the word of God is your house too. You know that? Not only just your food. The house is where food are stored. But it is also the gateway. No man come unto the Father but by me. And who was me? Christ. And who was Christ? He was the Word of God. Isn't that alright? You see? So where is the house of God's bread? Oh, that church down the road and that church down there. Where's the house of God's bread? There was none other than Christ Himself. you see. And these stones that Jacob laid on, you know what he said? I mean, this is sometimes a lot of fable, a lot of story being told. And most likely you can get it from the British Israelites. Those who believe that the white people, you know, the American, the European, they are the true lost tribe, the 10 lost tribe of Israel. That they are the true Israelites. They will claim that this stone is now, you will find this stone where? Under the seats of the coronal nation throne of the king and the queen. The stone was supposed to have migrated from Bethel to Jerusalem, where David was crowned. Then it went all the way to Spain, and then it went all the way to Scotland, then to Ireland, then finally went on there to England. And there is a stone there, under the throne. And so that's the stone of Jacob. Well, it could be like anybody claimed in the piece of bone and say, hey, this is the bone of Thomas or bone of Paul, you know. And everybody start to put a special thing around it and everybody come and watch it and see it. You know, you see the Catholic Church? You know, now that make money, you know. If you ever call and claim you have got the bone of some religious man and then, you know, you get a few group of people to, in childhood with you. You know, it's conspiracy and raise up something, yeah, really, really, and say, oh, I touched that stone, I touched that piece of bone, I got healed, this and that. You spread. Wow, man, you make money. You will make money, you will be a millionaire in 1 year. You see, and that's why the Bible talks about religion. You know, it becomes so commercialized. Babylon. It's all Babel, it's all confusion. There's no truth in these things. Alright? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, Lord, and for what you have given us in thy word. For what we see, Lord, as to the life of Esau and Jacob, twin brothers, yet one would despise his birthright and give up that which he was promised. According to the firstborn, the law of the firstborn. Father, help us all not to be like Esau, Father. A fornicator or a profaner. We haven't come to the truth, Lord, to profane that which you have given us. Or to join ourselves, Father, to another faith. Or compromise in any way, Lord, with the truth that you have given us. Father, in the inheritance that you have given us in Christ Jesus, he is the Word of God. He is the law, he is the life. And we are very much blessed, Father, for your grace that all these years you have got us and keep us now. And we know that, Lord, you will see us through. In this coming year, the rest, until we see Christ Jesus face to face. We know there may be a lot of uncertainty in this world. But one thing for sure, Lord, prophecy must be fulfilled. And but yet, in all the uncertainty, we have one certainty. And the Lord, we are heaven bound. Because you have given us Jesus Christ. You have given us eternal life in him. So we glorify thee, Lord. We bless thy name. We commit all this, Father, in our learning to you, Lord, that you may guide us and call us to remind us, Father, of the things, Lord, that you have shown us and that we can always be grateful and rejoice in our heart. For that, your joy, Lord, is our strength. And that we could always be like King David and say, I was glad when they sent to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So Father, bless now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.